Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Final hour tonight of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And there's not many times, Mike, where I feel like I could be an NBA insider. But you know what? Tonight, I kind of feel like I can be an NBA insider.
Wow, I can't wait to hear this.
I feel like I could, because something that we've been talking about for almost a month now came true tonight, again, the same way it's been coming true for the past month. And we told you about this while this new regime was just getting off the ground. Tonight, the marquee game of the night, nationally televised, Lakers and the the Warriors and the Suns, game two this week of the Western Conference Finals. Yes, they've started it now. The game one was earlier this week. Tonight, this game goes to the Warriors, and as you're going to hear, it wasn't really that close.
Shot clock turned off. Warriors will run it out. 118-96 was your final.
There it is. There's a very short final call. Okay, it's over. Time to go.
It's a final.
The Warriors win it big, and 118-96 is your final. And look, the Warriors were actually up bigger going to the fourth quarter than they were, and it was just a blowout. They outscored them 38-28, and now the Warriors improved to an NBA best 19-3, a half game up over the Suns. Now look,
ended that 18-game winning streak.
It did. Look, the Suns have been. Look, the Suns obviously have been fantastic. I mean, look, the Suns have been great. These are the two best teams in the NBA so far. And this doesn't mean that now the Warriors are better than the Suns. Look, there's a long way to go. We're talking about being, 23 games into the NBA season. But you don't get this far and not understand that, okay, these teams are going to be great all year long. It doesn't happen in the NBA. No, unless big injuries happen, nobody gets out to a record like this and proves that this is just false. Right? It just in other leagues it happens. Happens in Major League Baseball all the time. That's happens where a team gets out big and then they slowly start giving it away over the course of the season. But in the NBA, if you're this good over the course of the first quarter plus of the season, you're going to be close to being this good for the entire way. And for the Warriors, we've told you, look, when they started out and got out on this run, when they started out 6-1, 7-1, 8-1, and everybody wants to jump up and down and say, oh, Steph Curry's the MVP. Okay, Steph is playing really well. But we told you the three reasons why the Warriors are playing as well as they are. And everything we said a month ago, it was true tonight all across the board. Right now, Steph led the team in scoring with 23, but it wasn't a great night for him, but still, it doesn't matter. Steph was Steph. But the biggest things that are happening, the two biggest things that are happening with this team is, one, Draymond Green has rededicated himself to being a great player, right? We told you a month ago, something's different about Draymond. He seems to be into it more. He seems to care more. And then he did an interview a few days ago saying, hey, I had to find my love of basketball again. Like Draymond Green, you got the last couple of years. I thought, hey, this guy's going to be done, right? Like he's clearly on the downward arc of his career. He doesn't shoot the ball anymore, and he's not the player he was. But this year, something is different with him. And he said, hey, I had to rediscover my love of the game, and he's played really, really well tonight.
Well, his kid was giving him crap too.
Yeah, I mean, look, whatever it is in your life, when it spurs you on to find a new love in what you're doing, you see that difference, and it happens right away. And look, tonight he almost had a quadruple double. He was 9-9-9 and 6 steals. He had 3 blocks. This is a very Draymond night. But the other thing, and this is the thing, right? For all of his Steph was the same player now that he was last year. But you look at what the bench and the support players are doing, but specifically the bench, because they changed a lot of personnel. They brought in guys who fit more into the system and what the Warriors do well. And they have melded very quickly. And that's something that some teams with new guys, it takes the first half of the season, 3/4 of the season, to say, okay, we're playing together now. We kind of get it. No, the Warriors players have come in and they've played well right away. And tonight they got over 50 points off of their bench, and it was 50 points while the game was still in doubt. You know, Gary Payton had 19 and 5 rebounds off the bench tonight. You know, usually Otto Porter has a big night. He didn't have one tonight. And Andre Iguodala didn't even play tonight. It has been that bench that was such a big key to the Warriors' early dynasty that is now doing it again. Because, you know, yeah, it was Steph and Clay and Draymond and all, and it was Steve Kerr's system that started this whole ball rolling. But remember, they would bring their second unit out, and it would be terrific. And they, and Steph and Clay would come back in the game. They'd play 33 minutes a night. They would come back in the game and go, oh, we didn't lose. We actually gained 3 points on our lead. Hey, this game is over. It's not quite to that point, but the bench is clearly, this is a best fit, and they have all melded together. And this has taken off from the beginning. That's the difference in the Warriors. It's not that Steph Curry's, and Steph is still the same guy he was, doing the same kind of things. But what you're getting from the other players, from the bench, this is the big thing for the Warriors. That and Draymond Green discovering I love the game again, and here's why the Warriors are 19-3.
Going to be a fun battle as we roll through the final three quarters of the campaign. Look, once we get towards Christmas Day, all bets are off, man, and all the hype really begins. But there was the story of the pregame of Klay Thompson being in full uniform and getting some shots up as well, and still wondering when James Wiseman will be available. So in the interim, you talked about Curry, you talk about what you're getting from Draymond Green, you know, doing his media stuff while rededicating himself. He was plus 25 tonight and filling up the stat sheet. 9-9-9. We like saying 9. That used to be a bit on a midday show here on the network for years, kind of talking about how Tim McCarver said the word 9. But either way, Andrew Wiggins is giving you what you expect. 17 to 20 points a night. That's where he is. That is his range. And Jordan Poole getting more and more confident, getting heavier minutes. I'll be curious to see how the rotation switches up once Thompson is cleared for action. But it's fun, right? It's what we talk about with all leagues when there's a team, even if they're not a real villain, that they became a perceived villain. And no team went from being beloved to hated faster than the Warriors did. Right, Steph maintained, you know, the baby-faced assassin and could do no wrong. But as a team, people tired of them quickly, like they did with Tom Brady and the Patriots over time, or maybe some with LeBron James. You just get tired of it. It's like, I'm done. All right, what else is there to watch? What else is there to do? But the Warriors, you know, they went away for just enough time to where now they can throw a wrinkle into the best laid plans of these super teams that have assembled. And don't worry, Phoenix, we love you too. And your giant question mark is, you know, when it counts, is Chris Paul going to be there for you? Will he be there for you? I'm like writing greeting cards here.
Will he be glad to be here for you? Because that's you don't know if you're getting that card from Chris Paul.
No, you don't. Know,
maybe you get it, maybe you don't. Maybe you're on a Christmas card list this year. Maybe you're not on Chris Paul's Christmas card list.
Maybe it's a picture of Cliff and it just says, you know what, Chris couldn't be here.
I pick up what you're putting down there, Mike Harmon.
There you go. Nicely done.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studio. So a big win for the Warriors tonight, but that's really been their formula. And it's every single game. It's what it is. The bench is good. Draymond Green has been reinvigorated. And look, we talked a lot about Poole as well. He's taken that third year leap. I mean, this is all good stuff. Steve Kerr, again, doesn't get credit for the coach he is. This guy's the best coach in the NBA. He's been the best coach for a long, long time. It went from Greg Popovich to Steve Kerr, and Kerr doesn't get the credit because when he showed up at Golden State, Steph Curry was a good player. He was averaging about 23 points a game. He was in the league for 6 years. The Warriors had gone nowhere. And Curry was a borderline all-star type player. That's who Steph Curry was. But now, all of a sudden, hey, Steve Kerr shows up. Here's my system. We're going to do this, and we're going to have a lot of ball movement and ball screens. And suddenly, Curry's 35 points a game. He's the greatest shooter ever. Steve Kerr does not get the credit that he should, because really when that list list of great head coaches in the NBA, it's really Steve Kerr and then everybody else. You know, a few years ago, Popovich handling the mantle off, but it's Steve Kerr, and then the next best coach, probably Tom Thibodeau, but the next best coach is way down the list on that, because that's what he, I mean, what he has done and sparking that dynasty is really, it can't be matched. But again, the coach doesn't get the credit when you have star players, but boy, he took that franchise from nothing and turned it into what it is, and then reinvented it again when I didn't think it could be reinvented. Yeah, Steve Kerr, and there's nobody else close.
Well, it is that great discussion like we had with Coach Painter of the Purdue Boilermakers last hour, right? Of you need good players if you're going to be a great coach, but sometimes, you know, we as we've seen, coaches get pushed aside or their contribution can get questioned as well. Even go back and look at those Bulls teams, those Lakers teams. Phil Jackson's a guy, I don't know that he gets enough credit because they say, oh, look at all those All-Stars. Like, yeah, yeah, you keep those egos in check over 82 regular season games and through the playoffs and to titles. Yeah, tell me how easy that is. We saw it for one section of time in the Last Dance. Tried doing that for year after year. Good luck with that. But anyway, you can find that interview with Coach Painter next hour as the podcast goes up of the Friday edition of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon.
877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369 is the number. So, hey, the Warriors are still trucking. Now 19-3, 12-1. At home. From the NBA, we get to college football. A lot of big college football stuff coming up over the next half hour here on the show. And we're going to kick things off right now with Mike and I giving you our college football upset specials for this weekend. Look, it's championship weekend because after this, we're just picking Army-Navy. So 21-11 this season. I want to get that 2-1 ratio back. And the game I'm going to pick this week, this is tough now because now my wife is home, so I have to kind of whisper this. Okay.
Careless whisper. Don't be careless.
Careless whisper through. I have to whisper this. But I'm going to take Iowa getting 11 over Michigan. Hang on. Let me make sure she doesn't run in. Hang on. Okay, we're good.
The reason for this pick, look, Iowa's defense is terrific, right? I mean, they can't score at all. Their defense is terrific. They're not going to win this game. Michigan's lines are too good. The offensive line is too good. The defensive line is too good. But Michigan's going to get a bounce from last week. How can you not, right? You win an incredibly emotional game over Ohio State, and everybody's on the field, and it's suddenly, look at what happened, and it was a brand new day in college football. You're going to get a bounce. You're not going to be as sharp. I don't know how you prepare to play this game after you win that game against Ohio State. So it's going to be tough for sledding because Iowa's defense is legit. Maybe they get a turnover or two. This is going to be a tougher game for Michigan than expected. Now, Iowa's not going to win because, like I said, Michigan will control the trenches a little bit too much, but it's going to be tougher. Maybe it's the fourth quarter where a close game, a Michigan touchdown does it, and Iowa really can't move the football, but 11 points is way too much for me to say, yeah, I think Michigan's going to have enough of a bounce back after last week to win going away. I just don't see it. I'll take Iowa getting 11. Michigan wins, and they get a score late to do it, but give me Iowa and the 11 points.
Okay,
now you can play the music, Ty Shirt. I'm all good now. Now you can play the music.
I don't know about it.
Harmon, that's where you say, hit my music. That's where you say that.
Hit my music. Like I'm standing on the top of the ramp, ready to come down on SmackDown.
Da, 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 da,
well, there's that, too. Da, da, the problem, you know why the music cue didn't go? He couldn't see me.
It's facts. But now I can.
Either because I was in... Yeah, either the John Cena impression or just that I'm short. I'm not quite sure which.
Just wave your arms. He'll see you. Wave your arms.
Wave them like they just don't care. I'm going to take Wake Forest. They're getting 3.5 against Pittsburgh in this one. Pitt with a great defense. The pressure that they put on opposing quarterbacks, immense. Problem is you got to get there. And Wake Forest spreading things out. I think they can put up points in this game. The short drives, but explosive offense. We've seen them. Like they're part of my very large chaos scenario because they're still on the outside rim of this and fringe of this whole playoff kerfuffle. I need a lot of upsets to happen. So I'll take that game, and because you mocked me for it earlier, I'll go take the other one. I'll take Alabama getting 6 points.
Oh, look at you.
Not afraid Very of that nice. Georgia defense. And look, again, it causes chaos. So, I mean, yes, I am slightly biased in this because it's better for content if they win as opposed to Georgia. Is it not? Again,
no,
going back
is.
To the
it
love-hate
is.
Relationship
great.
People have with Nick Saban,
yes.
the overtired analysis of Alabama. Here they are again. And you thought they were dead. No, they're not. Here they are. They're ready on the doorstep. Sure, it took some Bryce Young heroics to get it done. Need some Jameson Williams and some big plays against this defense. But I think this is one that we can see that chaos happening. Why? Because it gives us great theater and Nick Saban in big moments. It's really awful hard to go away from him.
Well, here's the thing. I know I gave you a little bit of flack for that before, but here's
why. Well, picking the ACC title. I mean, come
sure,
on.
Well, yeah. Well, here's why I like your ACC title pick, because Kenny Pickett is saying to himself, man, if I have a big game, the Lions could take me number one overall because, you know, all the other quarterbacks have stunk. So
I like
you,
that
yeah,
one.
Maybe it's a three-pick game. I drop down a little bit. Maybe I'm going number four or five overall. Maybe the Giants take – oh, yeah, the Giants sound great. They're going to pick in the top five. Yeah, Daniel Jones is terrible. Okay, that's what I'm doing. So a couple of picks tomorrow, but a couple of throws to make it look like that I'm still good. All right, great. I got it. Yeah, Kenny Pickett saying, man, I could go to the Lions. I don't want that to happen.
Oh, that's brilliant. I didn't even think about that angle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one.
Yeah, man, with the Lions. Hey, I got Saboteur. The Lions on the phone. Oh, my God. All right, listen, I'm changing the play. I'm just going to fumble the snap, guys. I could go to the Lions here. But, hey, we can win the ACC. I forget about the ACC, man. The Lions. I could have to play in Detroit for a while and vacation with Jason Smith. I'm not doing it. I'm not sorry. I'm going to fumble the snap. I'm going to line up behind the guard like Kirk Cousins did.
People having all sorts of questions about what's he doing and you know, all the hand-wringing over gambling and whatever. I was like, no, I just didn't want to go to the Lions. It had nothing to do with the spread or anything else. I was the saboteur for a much bigger reason, for myself.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. But then again, you knew that already. It was a big night tonight in college football. Well, it was big if you were Utah. Wasn't that big if you were Oregon. Oregon shows up to try to win the Pac-12. And potentially, had they won this game, depending on the amount of craziness tomorrow, they could have been a team that if enough teams lost... Look out, Oregon could have gotten the call to play in the college football playoff. Because think about it for a second, right? Tomorrow, look, it's Armageddon for college football, right? Mike and I are going to spend the next 15 minutes getting into all the big things for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Armageddon. Had Oregon won tonight, you're talking about a two-loss Pac-12 champion. Tomorrow, if we had chaos, which is Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati losing, right? What would the playoff be, right? Because obviously if Alabama loses, it means Georgia wins. The playoff would be Georgia, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State Baylor winner,
which
would be,
sure.
You know, the Baylor winner would be there. And then it's either Oregon or Iowa, because you're talking about a two-loss conference champion, Iowa Hawkeyes, who would have just beaten Michigan, or Oregon, who would have just won. So if you had chaos tomorrow and you saw and those teams lost, you could have seen Oregon somehow worm their way into the college football playoff because of that. And that gets into a really big topic that gets deeper than just, hey, Oregon, because now obviously that's not happening because Oregon didn't even show up tonight,
right.
Is that if it comes down to it, who's going to make it? Is it going to be a team like Cincinnati if they win and they get in over a one-loss Power 5 conference champion like Oklahoma State? Because that's the big question tomorrow. Look, if chaos happens, chaos happens. If Alabama wins, all the stuff has to happen. We'll get to Cincinnati in a second because that's the other big domino. But if you're talking about a case where you have an undefeated Cincinnati again, and it's up for the fourth spot against a one-loss Power 5 conference champion – that one-loss Power 5 conference champion is going to get the slot. They have to over Cincinnati. They have to because they've played the better schedule. They lost one game. Cincinnati's beaten one team and had trouble all the way through the rest of the way. Oklahoma State would have won. We talked to Pete Futek last hour. They would have had the toughest schedule in the country the last couple of weeks, would have won both games. They're number 5 right now. Are they really not going to pass Cincinnati? Of course they would. I mean, that's what would happen. The only way Cincinnati wins that kind of battle and Cincinnati gets to stay in the playoff and Oklahoma State is shut out is if the voters just blindly want Cincinnati in, that they're done for whatever reason, hearing people saying, oh, it's just the rich people in college football. We can't. Fine, we're going to put Cincinnati in. Because all you hear about Cincinnati from the voters and from the people who like to speak about it is, well, that win over Notre Dame looks better and better every week. Nothing about the rest of the schedule, about how they've played right. Hardly any good teams, and they struggled with really, really bad teams. I don't mean just bad teams, really bad teams. Nothing about that. Just, boy, that win over Notre Dame. Yeah, okay, they won that one game. You're really going to take them over a one-loss Power 5 Big 12 champion Oklahoma State? The only way that happens is if they just have this strong desire for Cincinnati to get in. But looking how it's set up, it's set up for the rug to get pulled out from under Cincinnati. Because if it comes down to it, and it's between Cincinnati and Oklahoma State for that last spot at 4-5, yes, Cincinnati will have a win over a top 25 team if they win tomorrow. But you're talking about Oklahoma State beating two top 10 teams 2 weeks in a row. Oklahoma State will get that spot over Cincinnati if it comes down to it. That's how it's going to go.
Yeah, it's just the curiosity, you know, where the committee at this point, are they trying to prove, or do they go with what history has given us? Right. All right. So who's going to be able to crash the party if Cincinnati gets it done? They're a 10.5-point favorite. 52.5 is your over under. But what if Houston goes up and stings them? You now, you know, have hit the program that any of the non-power fives, your ability to get that spot, unless there's expansion, goes away, right? That's it. You've got the opportunity. You are now the poster child for every one of these programs that wants to get in, that wants to make it. So Luke Fickell, the weight of the rest of the college football world on his shoulders for this, and it still might not be enough. Right, as you say, the doomsday chaos scenarios of Alabama and Michigan and, you know, all of these potential losses up top. I mean, it's great theater, but I think it's leaving a lot of folks unnerved, right? Because when they finally put Cincinnati into the top four, didn't it seem like they were really trying to sell themselves as much as making an explanation of the rankings? Because that sell job about the victory over Notre Dame really was over the top. And head-to-head, I mean, look at this. Look at this game. Even though they'd ignore head-to-head with Michigan State and Michigan the weeks prior.
Yeah, we want to it's the old adage of we want to place importance on whatever we want to place importance on. It's like when they pick teams for the NCAA tournament. You know, sometimes wins away from home is the most important thing they want to look at. And other times it's, oh, well, we want to talk about what this team's, the big wins they have outside of conference. Whatever it is, they can figure out a way, whether it's RPI, whatever it is, all the quadrant one wins, quadrant two wins. The committee can focus on whatever they want to make a case for somebody, even if it's not consistent. And that's kind of what this is here. Hey, look at this win over Notre Dame. Oh, but yeah, but Michigan State beat Michigan. No, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. This matters, but Michigan, that does, because Michigan wound up beating Ohio State, who wound up beating Michigan State, and it becomes something that's just, hey, I can spin this way to make this the argument.
Yeah, I mean, as Pete Futek, again, owing to the conversation we had last hour, you know, basically said, you know, the way Cincinnati has to foolproof this is go boat race Houston. I don't think see that happening.
They can safeguard
everything, yeah, as much as they can. To say that they did their job, I guess, is the point, right? Because if they win narrowly, it's like, yeah, we're unbeaten. but people can still go through the schedule and point out all the blips and near fails along the way. And yes, Notre Dame is a big win, but when it's the only one that you could put on the resume, I think you still are going to lose that argument.
Yeah, you know, that's why I don't think Cincinnati controls their own destiny. All right, first of all, do they control it over Notre Dame? Yeah, because, you know, how crazy would it be to watch Cincinnati
win? I don't think they do.
Watch Cincinnati win, and then the voters go, no, Notre Dame's better. I'm going to put Notre Dame over Cincinnati.
No, but that's why I think
awesome.
That recruiting
That'll
video.
Oh,
but that's why
man.
I think that recruiting video today, both for recruits in the future as well as the committee, and showing, look, we're okay. Brian Kelly's gone, but the program remains. Mm. Right, the song remains the same. Look at, we love our new coach. We love our offensive coordinator. Look, they told LSU to beat it. By the way, Brian Kelly fired their strength coach, who'd been part of three national titles. I really want to understand that one.
He's not strong, but maybe he didn't have the Southern accent that he needed to keep the job. Ooh. Maybe that's what it was.
Is that the barometer now?
Yeah, that's what happened. No, but just think about that. Cincinnati wins, right, to be another top 25 team, but Notre Dame jumps up two spots ahead of them without playing a game. No, look, the thing they need help on, what Cincinnati really needs, is they need Alabama to lose. That's the two-part plan. Because if Cincinnati wins, they win. If Alabama loses, hey, Alabama drops out. You're not taking a two-loss team that didn't win their conference, and Cincinnati is safe. And that's when Oklahoma State jumps in if they win. Alabama, maybe they don't drop past them. But no matter what happens, Cincinnati's safe as long as Alabama loses. Because Alabama will drop past them, and Cincinnati will move up. Now, the big thing is if Alabama wins, because that screws everybody. Because Georgia's not dropping past number four. Being unbeaten all season long, SEC regular season champs. No, doesn't matter. They're not going out of there. So then you're saying, okay, Alabama wins. You're talking Alabama and Georgia have two spots. If Michigan wins, that's the third spot. Then it comes down to Cincinnati and Oklahoma State. And this is where if Oklahoma State wins and they're a one-loss Power 5 team, they'll get in over Cincinnati. So Cincinnati needs that kind of help. They're the only team, Oklahoma State, that can get in over them, because even if Baylor wins, they're a two-loss Big 12 conference champion. That would be too difficult to see them jump up. So it's really Oklahoma State who they got to watch out for, but they need Alabama to lose. It's a two-part thing. But we're already ranked four. Doesn't matter. You need Alabama to lose as well.
It's how it finishes. Where you're at right now, it's like if we're going to have that argument about the college basketball rankings, we had the good fortune of talking to Coach Painter earlier. Like, if you're going to try to push it aside, going, they're number one in early December. No, that's still a pretty big bleeping deal, but it isn't the be-all to end-all, and everybody understands that. Likewise, being on the latest reveal of, hey, you're in the top four. Congratulations. You know the seat is tenuous. This is not locked in. You're not signing a contract. We've not done a blood oath. We reserve the right to change our opinion based on a million factors. Or how much more money if Notre Dame is in or Oklahoma State?
It's
how
a
much
blood
more?
Oath. I need a blood oath from you.
But it's not like it's not done. Yeah, like people like, oh, look, they made it to number four. That's it. Mm-hmm. Win and you're in. It's like, no, not necessarily. But we've seen the fickle hand of fate. And when you leave it to the committee, the
did
judges,
whatever
else. Did you
say the Luke fickle hand of fate? Is that what you said? The Luke
I
fickle
did.
Hand of fate?
Like
that's
that?
Pretty good. I like that.
I thought I could sneak that one past you,
yeah,
but you were with me.
That was nice.
But it's the is there's ever going to be the element of it's not just what happened on the field, then it's all bets are off because you start getting into different fiefdoms being built, different arguments that change a win back in week four versus where we're at now and the landscape and all the feel good. It's like, hey, you know what? Brian Kelly left. Freeman and these guys, Notre Dame's likable in the moment. Right, we watched him talk to the kids. We saw this. Come on, look, goodwill. Let's let them play out the season they had. Because everybody was just crying about that the other day. So maybe that's enough to sway the committee after that video gets recirculated 9 billion times before the vote goes down. So yeah, it's what happens in the room at that moment. All the ideas and conceptions of how this is supposed to operate, we know that it's a moving target based on what's going to get the biggest ratings and keep the money flowing. So always remember that. Follow the money. They weren't just kidding in All the President's Men. It's really the way the world works.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If you're having trouble starting your car, AutoZone will test your battery for free and help you find the issue so you don't spend money on parts you don't need. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Hey, so Jason, yeah. Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure, though? Go ahead, buddy.
By doing the All the President's Men thing, does that make me a journalism nerd or does it make me old?
It makes you both. You're the oldest journalism nerd in the world. That's okay. What it does. It makes you both.
I'll wear it. That's fine.
You wear that? All right. So we got more college football coming up. So look, Cincinnati doesn't control their own destiny. When it comes down to a Power 5 team with one loss versus a non-Power 5 team, they're going to get the call. But let's just say things get a little bit crazy. As in the words of a frequent guest, Pete Futek, let's go a step further. We will go one big step further in college football with what could happen after tomorrow. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
He sounds sexy.
Now, if you want an expansion of the college football playoff, and who doesn't? Well, we could be really close to one after tomorrow. Right, tonight we had the Pac-12 commissioner say, hey, talking about expanding the playoff in June was a mistake. Okay, I get it. We wanted to be closer and have some kind of plan before we started pursuing this. And all the reports the last couple of days from commissioners have said, hey, we're getting there, we're talking about it, but nothing is for certain. Well, I will tell you what will get us the college football playoff in a minute. If at the end of the day tomorrow, if the dust settles, and somehow, again, I don't think it's likely, but if Cincinnati, an unbeaten non-Power 5 team, gets the fourth playoff slot over Oklahoma State, a one-loss Power 5 conference team, we're going to get a change in expanded playoffs right away. Because when this whole playoff started, well, we got the five power conferences, and all right, one year maybe a team is not going to be strong enough, so it's going to be the other three conferences and maybe two teams from the SEC. Everybody's kind of had that head nod and handshake. Yeah, all right, we kind of get it. But, you know, maybe this is our year. Maybe next year it's somebody else. But as long as we have the Power 5 conferences, I get it that we're going to lose out once in a while. That changes if you're losing out to a non-Power 5 conference team. This is where every conference says, okay, every commissioner says, let's stop, and everybody involved, all the power brokers says, we need a playoff because my conference is not going to have this happen to us again. We're not going to be left out, so a non-Power 5 conference team that plays one tough team and struggles with everybody else is going to get in over my team that plays a much tougher schedule and only loses one game. Not happening anymore, and that will come together so quickly. We got to have eight teams in so we get somebody from every conference. We can then let in the non-Power 5, one or two of those teams per year, but it will happen that fast, Mike, because all the commissioners are going to say this could happen to us next, so we got to make sure it doesn't. Even though it's Oklahoma State, which is not a team you generally stand up for, all the other commissioners know, boy, one lost Power 5 team, they still gave it to Cincinnati. Even though Oklahoma State won two big games the last 2 weeks against right. Two top 10 teams, this is going to change, and that gets us an expanded playoff right away.
Well, you sometimes need something that jumps in to really be the disruption. We see it in economics and in business all the time, right? The advent of things like Uber and Lyft and everything else, and the taxi and, well, moving around Uber Eats and Grubhub and everything else. Likewise here.
Grubhub.
That's where we'll take the non-power fives of, hey, we played really well. And when we did have an opportunity, like Cincinnati did, we beat your Notre Dame, even though they're independent, not part of the five. But, they're kind of seen as the plus one, right, if we're going to a dance or some kind of soiree. Here, crashing the party means everybody's looking around going, all right, that takes money out of our conference's pockets. That puts egg on our face, and it only takes one slip up to do it. Like, that's the hard part in the equation, right? It's not that, all right, we were a two-loss team that ended up being our champion. Okay, I guess we can accept that. But if you're a one loss and you get left out, no. That really accelerates, which I would expect is a four-year cycle anyway, much like our election cycle at this point, that we're going to be that fast in moving to that direction regardless of this outcome. But certainly the voices will get louder.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Believe me, it will be that fast. Now, speaking of fast, Mike and I are going to go through our upset special picks for the National Football League. Gave you our college football upset special picks earlier this hour. For the NFL, Mike, I'm going to kick it off, put my 21-11 record on the line this week. I'm going to take the Chargers getting 4 over the Bengals. This is the kind of game the Chargers win. It's a big bounce-back game. Cincinnati's defense is going to have its hands full with the Chargers. It'll be a big bounce-back for Herbert and Austin Eckler. There'll be a lot of points because the Chargers' defense has been bad, but this is a game they pull out because their offense will be too much for the Bengals' defense. The Bengals have had problems handling prosperity, so give me the Chargers plus 4.
I like it. Plus 4.5 at home. Pittsburgh home dogs. TJ Watt did have his first negative COVID test, so lining up like he'll play. Question of whether Cam Hayward does. However, I just don't understand how Baltimore, the way they've been struggling of late, suddenly is 4.5 points favored on the road here in a divisional matchup.
And secondly, I never do this, but it worked one time. I'm going to try it again. The Jets in 7.5 over a banged-up Jalen Hurts. Their defensive line is a bad matchup. They control the game. Jets in 7.5.
I like chaos. Give me Houston plus 10. Maybe winning outright over Indy. Boom!
Woo! There you go. Our upset special picks. Have a great weekend. This is Fox.